Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 2, I taught that sometimes our ways are wicked because of what we tolerate. Let's continue with that thought today. Now, this first great issue that men must settle in their dealings with God is the sin issue. Every man, saved, unsaved, must always deal with the sin issue. We look back in our first chapter here as we got into this study, and we see something that's very interesting here. Verse 8 through 10, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You've heard of people saying, talk about sinless perfection, I haven't sinned in weeks and months and years. That's a lie. You sin every day. But he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now understand, God sees your heart. I can't see your heart, but God does. He can see your motives. He can see your intentions. He can see your deception. Oh, he can see it all. Every idle word will come up in judgment. So we need to understand that the sin issue in our life must be the issue that we deal with. And it is the first issue in local church revival, let alone for salvation. And that is that we fully admit our sin. Now, America, people say, needs revival. Well, more than America needing revival, the local church needs revival. We need to read a prayer like Daniel's in Daniel chapter 9 and see where he's confessing the sins of himself and the nation and say, you know what? This is what I need to do in my own life. People often quote 2 Chronicles 7:14 when speaking of revival. But do we really stop to think that that is dealing with our sin? He said there to turn from their wicked ways. When he called wicked ways, he was talking about his own people. He wasn't talking about the unsaved of the world. He was talking about his people. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, and look, our ways grow wicked. Sometimes our ways grow wicked in what we tolerate. Do you realize that the Bible never has shown toleration, accommodation as good things in dealing with worldliness and sin? Compromise is never mentioned as a positive aspect. God is absolutely holy, so again, those things are out. You know, pragmatism within the context of Christian ministry needs to be thought of like this. Pragmatism entails the implementation of any practice or program into ministry that appears to produce results, regardless of whether or not such practices or programs coincide with biblical principles of ministry. Pragmatism embraces the philosophy of Marxism, that is, the end justifies the means. Therefore, those who espouse a pragmatic philosophy of ministry use methods and programs such as cooperative evangelism, worldly gimmicks, rock or contemporary Christian music and the like in their churches and ministries, because such practices and programs appear to draw larger crowds to church. And they say win people to Christ, but really, what you win people with is what you win them to. They're winning them to another Jesus, not the holy Jesus of the Bible. So we need to rethink that. You see, we don't need to have marketing and Rick Warren tell us how to do church. We need to be really innovative, use the Bible, and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to take over. That is so much better, and I hope that that is your desire as well. Now, again, we say these things because God does have commandments. And His Bible does have standards for Christians. Yet there is not a doctrine, there's not a testimony, there's not a precept which Christ has laid down, and then not a promise which He has given. None of that which leads to promoting of holiness in our life. So again, whether it's a doctrine, a testimony, a precept, or a promise of God, it will always lead to promoting holiness in your life. And if it doesn't, then it's probably something that is of man and not of God, or something that could have been of God, but man has corrupted to such an extent that we don't see the holy God in whatever that thing may be. So again, I'm just trying to help you to understand the heart of God. So let's turn from our wicked ways. Now, we're being told that He is writing to them that they sin not. You know, Christians have an imperative command. Now, an imperative command, a present imperative, means this: stop doing whatever He said to stop doing, or start doing whatever He said to start doing. And if it's a stop, then you don't do it again, and you never do it again. Wait till Jesus comes, but don't do it again. On the other hand, if it's something we're to do, keep on doing it till Jesus comes. An imperative command in the Bible is something for which we will be called into an account. That's right, we will give an account for it. And it's very serious at the judgment seat of Christ that we are holy. Now, let's just use one example. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. When you read that passage, sometimes it's just, we read it so nonchalantly, and we don't really realize the full impact of such a passage. Because, listen, that passage is very full of imperative commands for us. He says, as obedient children, 1 Peter 1:14, not fastening yourselves, not emulating, according to the former lust in your ignorance. Don't try to emulate the world. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation. Every area of your life, seek holiness, is what He's saying. Then verse 16 says, because it is written, this was in Leviticus, and again, at least three times in the book of Leviticus, He makes this command to Israel, and now this command is given to us. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That is, I, the Lord, am holy. So He tells us to be holy. And again, I believe that that is one of the things for which we will give an account. Now, as you look back in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we see this. He says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, in order to keep within the context of this book, the first round of fellowship for the believer is to walk in light. In Jesus Christ, there's light and there is no darkness at all. Now, two passages come to mind for me in this regard. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from this point forward, in other words, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, been alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. By the way, blinding, ignorance, speaks of the darkness of sin and of worldliness. So worldliness and sin, you allow it in your life, you try to justify it in your life, it will always end up causing you to be blind to the heart, the mind, the joy that is of God. That's why we read in Isaiah 5:20, speaking of the last days, that men would call evil good, and they would end up calling good evil. And we see that that's exactly the way men are today. Verse 19, now continuing there in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 that we're reading here, read verse 17 and 18. Now verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Now lasciviousness simply means no restraint on the flesh. And people that remove those restraints, they will call us legalist. But, you know, they're actually the legalist because they obey the devil in removing all the restraints against sin from the life of a believer and trying to justify it in Jesus' name and misuse the name of Christ. But they have done that because they've become a slave, a legalist, to the law of lasciviousness. And so he says, they've given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Uncleanness, in other words, is just not holy in the sight of God. It has a taint of the world, has the taint of sin. And it's with greediness, and that's what you see with these marketers. They're selling you things all the time, trying to get your money. And look, I'm not against giving money to the Lord's work, but it should be going to getting missionaries on the field to get the gospel out, not so much for building bigger places for drums, smoke machines, donut shops, and coffee in God's house. And please don't write a letter against what I just said, because there will be no apology for what I just said coming. For I still agree with God, and I always will by the grace of God. So, he lets us know they've given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
Bible plans, my feet.